Hey guys, it's Damian from Marketing Food Online, and tonight I'm going to get into this podcast. It's going to be about labeling your food products based upon the FDA requirements, the five specific things that must be on your label, and let's get right into it. Okay, guys. All right. So the question I got from one of my subscribers, which was actually quite interesting question, and it's a good question. I've been asked actually a couple times on it. I haven't had a chance to address that question just yet, but they are utilizing a seasoning or a spice from a certain brand of product, but they're not sure about when they create the label, how to label that ingredient. Is it supposed to have the brand name of the item itself plus the item's name? For instance, as an example, if it was like a Lipton soup mix and there were some seasonings in there, you were using that to create a final product, do you put on the ingredient list the brand name of Lipton or the brand itself plus whatever the ingredient is? So the answer is no. You don't put the actual brand name of it on the product in regards to the list of ingredients. The FDA just wants to make sure that in the ingredients that are being used in your final product are listed. And it's making sure that the consumer is aware of what is inside your food product. And that's really just to protect them from allergens, potential reactions. If there's an ingredient they can't have, you definitely want to make sure that your food is safe in regards to consumption by a consumer when you label it. So I want to get into exactly the five things that the FDA requires for food products. So number one, right off, as we mentioned before, the brand's name is not required. It's really just the ingredient. So a lot of people buy a lot of brand name companies produce products. It could be a seasoning, let's say, and they put that in a large package. So a manufacturer would purchase that, or you, if you were creating a food product, you'd purchase that, and then you would add that to those ingredients. You would add it to your recipe, and that would actually allow you to create a finalized product. The finalized product label needs to make sure that it has everything on it that is actually in it. Really, really simple. It's just that you don't have to put their company's name on the package. Number one. Okay, so number one, the statement of identity is what it's called. And what is a statement of identity? It means that the common name for basically for a food product. Okay, it's again, back to what I said before, it's not the brand's name. So if you were making a tomato soup and that was what the product was, then you need to have that on the label stating that it is a tomato soup. If you're doing chocolate chip cookies, same thing. You have to have it on there on the label stating chocolate chip cookies, okay? Now, super simple. If you've got, of course, your own brand name, like if it was Susie's chocolate chip cookies, you can put that on there. You can put the name of your company. But make sure that the product name is actually on the label itself as well. So the next thing you have is the manufacturer or the distributor or packer's address, name and address. So if it was Susie's chocolate chip cookies was the manufacturer, make sure that the label has the address where the product is actually being produced, okay? If you happen to be running a business where your office itself is actually out of your home, but you're producing it in a commercial kitchen, they need to know where is the product being manufactured or packaged or distributed so they can trace that back. It's an issue of traceability where they've got, if they ever have an issue, if someone happens to get sick from your chocolate chip cookies, they know where the facility is and they can address the issue and they can get in touch with you and they can address anything that may come up from a consumer, okay, if they have a question about the product. So making sure that the actual address for the manufacturer or the packer is on the label. Number three. Net quantity of food packaging. Of course, this is the weight of the product minus any other packaging that you may have. So again, let's say you did chocolate chip cookies and you did a pound's worth. You did 16 ounces in a package, but you had it in a bag and then the bag is in a box and you have all this packaging. Your net quantity of food packaging is actually the amount of just the product, okay? A lot of times some people have emailed me questions about that and they've added the packaging and they say, well, it's one full pound, including the packaging, the box. Well, that's incorrect. You need to make sure that the actual packaging is not part of your net quantity, okay? So the next up is your nutrition facts, okay? Now, in some cases, like I mentioned before, there's an exemption for this. If you're a smaller food producer, you can apply for the exemption in regards to the nutritional facts, not the ingredient list, but the nutritional facts. So if you're producing a product and you're just trying to get out and you're getting up and running, you can actually apply for that exemption. The FDA will review it, and that product, based upon 100,000 or less units a year, can be exempt from that specific labeling on your packaging. So you don't have to get a nutritional analysis done and all that good stuff, which is actually quite expensive up front. But you can be exempt from that if you're selling less than 100,000 units. And there's a couple other stipulations, but mainly the amount of quantity of the product that's being sold every year. And you have to renew that every single year as well. So just keep that in mind also. All right. So you can get that exemption. And, of course, that will save you. To be honest with you, nutritional analysis can be fluctuate quite greatly. There's some companies that can do it for a couple $100, and then there's some that go for over $1,000. But it's something that you don't have to have if you follow that criteria. And annually, you have to re-register that specific product. So keep this in mind. If you've got five different flavors of a cookie, each one of those can be technically exempt if you are selling less than 100,000 units of each individual flavor, okay? Not all of the products you make. It's based on individual product. So next one up, we've covered nutritional facts. If you do have to put that on there, the nutritional facts would be the information that breaks down the fats, the carbohydrates, all of those numerical information that you see that has the fats and cholesterol, carbohydrates, sugars, etc. That's considered the nutritional facts. That's not the ingredient list. So lastly, it is the ingredients list. So this podcast was specifically to answer that question. This is going to cover all of your ingredients. What you need to put on the packaging needs to be the ingredients based upon the most predominant ingredient first. So if you're making, let's say, cookies, okay, and flour happens to be the largest portion of ingredients, that goes first. And then it descends down to the least used ingredient. So keep that in mind, too, because that's kind of important. Some people kind of get that mixed up. But based upon the most used ingredient in the product, that has to be on the ingredient list, okay, in descending order. So the one thing you want to keep in mind, is no matter what you're using as far as the food ingredients, the brand is not of importance. What is of importance is letting the consumer know what is actually in the product. It's very, very simple. And you will definitely be following the FDA guidelines by doing that. Just keep track, of course, as you produce these things and you're buying, make sure you keep your receipts, of course, and keep all of that, of course, for tax purposes. But you can also keep that in case something needs to be traced or tracked. They can find out, hey, you know what? This particular spice, it had expired and it was put into a product and someone got sick. They can find out where that came from. So it just keeps everybody really kind of safe and also protects you, to be honest with you, from any, you know, legalities and such when someone gets sick or they happen to have some issues. So when you're creating the label, keep in mind those are the five key things that the FDA requires. But as I said before, that one thing that can be exempt is, of course, the nutritional analysis based upon how many of the products you're selling. So the other thing you want to keep in mind is when you start to list your ingredient listing, this is really important, make sure that you have your allergen statement. Every food product is required to have an allergen warning based upon allergens that are potentially out there that could give people allergic reactions, such as milk and eggs, tree nuts, wheat, fish, actually crustaceans, shellfish, and soybeans and peanuts. Those are the main required FDA items that need to be placed on the label to ensure that people do not get sick. Obviously, if you're not producing crustacean shellfish, you're not working with fish, that's obviously not an ingredient in your cookies, let's say, and a normal bakery doesn't have that. Just put these on there, make sure that you cover yourself and also inform the consumer as much as possible. All of these allergens, simply put that on your label. It's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it's about 7 different allergens, and you want to make sure that they're present on your label, okay? So the one thing you want to keep in mind is just what I had mentioned. Double check your ingredients. It's not important about the manufacturer. And make sure that you've got your allergens on there. And every little bit of ingredient that you put based upon the predominance of the use of that ingredient. So as always, I want to try to keep my podcast and videos short and sweet to the point. And I hope that was informative. Those are the five key things that you need to make sure you have on your label. And of course, the one you can check on for your exemption. I'll put some information down below in the description section that you can link to that'll show you about that exemption, by the way. And if you have a chance to check out the FDA website, it's not exactly the most exciting stuff and fun things to look at and read, but it's very educational, it's very informative. And if you're going to get in the food business, knowing what's on the FDA website is of the utmost importance. Basically, the more you know, the better off you are, and your business, your food business, can grow safely without having any issues. So just inform yourself, educate yourself. There's a lot of great information out there showing you specifically what is required. And these five things are definitely the required bits of information that need to be on your labeling. So I do hope that that helps answer that question that I received from my subscriber. I do appreciate you asking questions. And as always, if you guys are not subscribed, subscribe to our channel. We've got hundreds of videos to show you how to bring your recipe to market, selling items either locally or even getting them online and creating a commercial facility for yourself and getting up and running in the food business. And check out our podcasts as well. We've got probably about 40 different podcast uploads. Our podcast is relatively new for us. And I look forward to seeing you guys on the next video. Take care.